Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are live at Studio B, Bowser Chevrolet in Monroeville. Doug Whaley joining us for the entirety of the 9 o'clock hour. Right now, though, we are joined by our Steelers insider from the Post-Gazette, our friend Ray Fittipaldo. He's on the fan hot. And presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And brought to us by the Western PA injury attorneys of LGKG. Build up relationships, credibility, and integrity. LGKG.com. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Excellent. Pretty good. Oh, it's pretty good.
How are you?
I'm excellent.
Oh, okay.
Or are you asking Ray?
No, I'm saying I'm pretty good.
You're pretty good.
Yes.
And Callis, how are you?
I'm all right.
Okay, so he's all right. You're okay.
No, I'm pretty good.
You're pretty good.
You're excellent.
Well, now I feel like crap. Ray, yesterday's Mike Tomlin news conference, for the first time, he changed his tune a little bit on Justin Fields v. Russell Wilson. He says he's open to riding the hot hand so long as Justin Fields plays well and wins. Do you think he's specifically just talking about this game, or do you think that Mike Tomlin would give Justin Fields another game after this one, even if Russ is healthy?
Yeah, the way I interpreted it as is, you know, if Justin continues to improve on an upward trajectory, that he would consider riding the hot hand. He did say, we're not there yet.
Right.
So you can read into that whatever you want. Maybe he doesn't feel like Justin has done enough to earn that, or maybe it's a situation where Russell has to go through full practices, they have to evaluate him, see how he moves, see how he's throwing the ball before they make that decision. So Mike sort of bought himself another week, I think. I think the big storyline this week, guys, is if Russell is full, let's say Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, is he the backup this week? Is he available, to come in as the number two? And then, of course, we could have this conversation in much more detail next week. Before they get ready to play the Raiders.
Well, that's exactly what I was about to ask you, Ray. If he is full, say Thursday, Friday, or even just Friday, and goes through everything is smooth, and he is the backup, could we see Russ, though, if Justin Fields says throws two interceptions in the first quarter or the second quarter, would they be that quick to go to Russ if he is anointed the backup?
Yeah, I mean, we'd obviously have to see how that game is going. I mean, I think Justin would have to play really poorly for that to happen, because, you know, even though he made a couple of crucial mistakes in the second half of that game, there was a lot of good that went on in that second half too. Responding to adversity the way he did, leading touchdown drives in that second half when they needed them. You can't take a 22-yard sack. That's not a winning football play. The botched snaps cannot continue, but Justin has continued to improve. He's doing things that are putting him in position to win games. So, to answer your question, Doran, I think Justin would have to, you know, maybe look really, really bad for that to happen. But yeah, I do suppose that's on the table if Russ is the backup this week.
Ray Fittipaldo with us. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Ray, we've talked about this, Doran and I have, a lot on the show. Take people behind the scenes. I don't know that people know. The backup quarterback doesn't play a lot in practice. I mean, you don't get a lot of reps. How might it look if Russ is practicing in full but the backup quarterback? Do you think he'd get more than typical reps?
Yeah, I think they would structure it so I wouldn't say he's taking half the reps. Obviously, they got to get Justin ready. But, you know, Kyle Allen is in there taking the reps the last month. You know, percentage-wise, I don't know, maybe 10 to 15% of the snaps during any given practice. You know, perhaps they give Russell 25%, something like that. But a lot of that, you know, would be done behind the scenes too. A lot of work, you know, in the film room, in the meeting room with quarterback's coach and Arthur, making sure he has the game plan done. And then, you know, Russ is enough of a pro that he can go to the side field. He could throw to George. He could throw to Scotty and Van and all those guys and get his timing down when it's not in a team period. So there are ways to do that. But, yes, I do think they would get Russell a little more work than usual than what you would with a backup.
Ray, do you think the glaring issues from the defense this past Sunday, do you think they're fixable, or do you think that there's some serious issues going on that it could hamper them as the season goes on?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was communication, playing in a dome. They weren't on the same page a lot. Patrick Queen talked about that after the game. So they got to get that rectified. I mean, they'll be playing many more home games in this coming stretch than they will on the road. You know, Vegas will be indoors, so that might be a challenge for them. But to me, when you're not getting lined up properly and you're leaving guys wide open over the middle of the field or in the flat like they were in this game, those are things that are totally correctable. And I thought they did a much better job of that in the second half. I think the disappointing thing was that every time the offense scored in the second half, you know, the Colts almost every time were able to answer, where they were able to get extended drives, get first downs, and that really just never allowed the Steelers to fully get back into that game. So,
whose fault? Do you think that's Patrick Queen's fault, or do you think that's some of you know, some of the young's fault?
Yeah, I mean, Patrick is going to take responsibility for that because he's the captain of the defense. But I think it's everyone who's involved. You do have a lot of young guys who are playing. You know, Beanie Bishop is out there. Peyton Wilson's out there. I'm not saying Peyton made any mistakes, but you can kind of see with the coverage what was going on there that, you know, maybe there were some issues with some of the younger guys. And listen, you're going to have growing pains when you play young guys. We're seeing it with the Steelers offensive line, and I think for the first time this season, maybe you saw that a little bit with the young guys who were playing on defense, specifically Beanie Bishop and, you know, some of those other guys.
Ray Fittipaldo joining us here, our Steelers insider from the Post-Gazette. Ray, you've sat through a bunch of Mike Tomlin press conferences over the years. Just hearing the way he described Jalen Warren's availability, Cordarrelle Patterson's availability, do you expect both those guys to play, one of those guys to play, neither of those guys to play? And if they do play and are healthy, could you see them going with a hot hand there, given how Najee Harris played in the last game?
Yeah, well, what I will tell you is Patterson was in a walking boot Tuesday morning. That doesn't mean he's really severely injured, but that was notable to me. So we'll see how that goes. He was running really, really well, guys. So if he cannot play, that'll be a hit to the Steelers' offense. You know, to answer your question about those guys, I do really feel that they both are questionable heading into the week. And I think Wednesday and Thursday's practices will tell us where they are. Last week they dressed Aaron Shamplin. You know, this week it could be Jonathan Ward if one or both of those guys are down. So I think Ward is probably the better runner, you know, if you want to pick between the two. So, you know, I think if both Warren and Patterson don't play, then I think for sure we'll see Jonathan Ward's debut with the Steelers on Sunday night.
Percentage chance the Steelers end up with Davante Adams?
Ha! I knew we were going to get to this at some point.
Of course.
I don't know. I mean, his numbers after this season, like this season is manageable, guys, because I think he's only making like 16, 17 million. You prorate that whenever you pick him up, you know, you could be on the hook for maybe $8 to $10 million. So this year is not the issue. The issue is you would have to acquire him and work it out with his agent where you say, listen, we want you, but we're not going to pay you $35 million in 25 or 26. Right. And then you almost have to do the trade and, you know, the renegotiate. And sometimes those are difficult. Devontae is not going to want to give up that money unless he really, really wants out of Las Vegas. So to me, that's the hold up with there. You know, I'll say just because the Steelers are maybe desperate for a number two or a number one, however you want to frame that, I'll say, as the time goes on.
Ray Fittipaldo with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Last thing here for you, Ray. What would it do to the Steelers if they got Devontae Adams? What's their ceiling now in your mind, and how would he change that?
I mean, obviously, it would make them a much more explosive offense. You would have, you know, distribution with your targets that would be more realistic to having a threatening passing offense. So, you know, let's say they're 3-1 now. Let's say you think they're going to finish 10-7 and be a wild card in the AFC. I think if you acquire a guy like Devontae Adams, that you would put yourself in the division race, and you would probably challenge Baltimore. Maybe you can get to 12-5 or 11-6. I think a guy of his talents would do that much, but I still caution, don't get too excited yet. They would have to work that out with the agent, and they would have to obviously agree on compensation as well with the Raiders.
Ray, that was award-winning stuff. We appreciate your time as always, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right, guys. See you.
Take it easy. Ray Fittipaldo. Let's talk about Russ's backup quarterback. If he's healthy enough to be the backup and field struggles, what do you do? We'll talk about that next. John Wehner at the bottom of the hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hit us up on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia. Whoa. Restart? False start. I'm going to blame it on Robert Sala. Hit us up on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And let me brave another one of these. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Ray says the quarterback story for this week is whether or not Russell Wilson can dress as the number two. If he is healthy enough to be the backup quarterback, Doran, and Justin Fields struggles early, you asked Ray this question. I'm interested in your answer. Would you play Russell Wilson?
No.
Me neither.
Nope.
Wouldn't even think about it.
Unless he went down with an injury.
Yep.
It's only injury based. And I would make that clear. I'd make that clear to Russ. I'd make it clear to Justin. I'd make it clear to Kyle Allen. I'd make it clear to Arthur Smith. I'd make it clear to the whole damn football team in my meeting that Russ is healthy enough to play on Saturday whenever we're at the hotel and we're going through our final walkthroughs. Russ is healthy enough to be the backup quarterback only if injury.
I
would make that clear to everybody.
100%. I would. Now listen to what I'm saying, human beings. I would make it like Big Ben for this game.
Yeah.
If Ben sucked, Landry Jones wasn't going in. Michael Vick wasn't going in. Charlie Batch wasn't going in. Bruce Gradkowski wasn't going in. For this game, if Justin Fields sucks, he's still finishing the game. If the Steelers are up by 40 points, I don't think that's happening. If they're up by 40 points, Justin Fields finishes the football game. Last week, actually the last two, first half for Justin Fields, unkind. So it's not just that I don't want to, if I'm Mike Tomlin, invite any more quarterback controversy. It's also Justin Fields' first half against the Chargers, so-so. Second half leads two straight scoring drives and then runs the clock out at the end. So he showed the ability to bounce back. He bounced back from an interception and immediately went down and scored. Against Indianapolis, first half, 3 points. Second half, after a horrendous sack fumble, which would have been a benching moment if Russ were there, he goes out three straight touchdown drives. Allow the young man to battle through adversity. I don't think Tomlin would put Russell Wilson in if he's the backup, unless Justin Fields got hurt. But we've seen weird stuff before. We've seen Kenny Pickett get thrown in there. It's a different circumstance. Mm-hmm. But, hey, Mitch goes out, throws a couple of interceptions, and he gets yanked in the middle of the game against the New York Jets. I wouldn't put it past Tomlin. I don't think he would do it, but I'm with you. You can't do it.
Justin Fields has earned the right to be able to finish a game. I don't care how it looks.
Mm-hmm.
He's earned that, and he's earned the respect of his teammates to have the respect of the head coach to respect that situation, that the guy has done everything he's been asked to do. If it doesn't look great, which it's the NFL, there's going to be a point in the season if Justin Fields and continues on as the starting quarterback that it's not going to look
good. Yep.
Like, I mean, what quarterback goes through a whole entire season where it just looks flawless all the time? No.
Doesn't that look at Patrick Mahomes right now?
Look at Brady and mostly the start of, you know, every single year almost.
Yeah.
So it's not going to look good at some point. I think the kid has earned the right to be able to finish a game, and then you don't want to mess with his confidence either. Because you do that, you pull him, then you might lose him forever.
I think the biggest difference between Justin Fields now and Justin Fields in Chicago might be his confidence.
Yes.
Because he's always had the talent, and you don't want to screw with that. You don't want to yo-yo the young man. I think it would be can I use a big word? Am I using it correctly? A cataclysmically bad decision.
Yes.
By Mike Tomlin. If Russell's healthy enough to be backup, and you yank Justin Fields at any point. And I would crush Tomlin for a number of different reasons, but chief among them, he basically poo-pooed bad starts yesterday. We don't lose football games because of the way we start football games. He wasn't happy with the way his defense started. I mean, he did say that, but he said that's not why we lost the game. Turnovers are why we lost the game. So what I'm saying is, if Justin Fields has a bad start, let him finish the thing and see if he can bring you back like he did against Indianapolis.
I have a question for you. You might not have the answer. Maybe I should have this answer, but do you have to declare the third quarterback, the emergency quarterback?
Yes.
So, like, if they declared Russ as the third quarterback in this game,
he can't be two.
He can't go in if Justin Fields gets hurt.
Right. You are technically inactive.
Okay.
Unless both your quarterbacks go down.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really goofy.
Yeah.
And that's why people were making fun of Russ and still continue to make fun of Russ for being engaged and wearing his uniform. Yes. Right. It's not like he's inactive and can't play.
Mm-hmm.
He's inactive and could play. I'd probably just hand the ball off, but he got to be wearing the uniform.
Yeah.
Whereas my wife says the outfit.
The outfit.
Mm-hmm.
I like that better than the uniform.
The outfit?
Yeah, it's an outfit.
It's a uni.
Yeah. We could change it. It's 2024.
I liked the Dallas Cowboys outfits last time out. The white helmets.
I like that.
The
too.
White is clean.
Very clean.
We got an A-plus uni matchup, outfit matchup coming up Sunday Night Football. They've never played on SNF before.
What?
Never happened.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
That night game, what, a couple years ago?
Must have been a Monday night game.
Oh, yeah.
The one where they had the fake spike and then they let Elliott go a million yards for the game winning touchdown.
That was Monday night?
Had to have been, because I read yesterday they hadn't played a Sunday night game, which that's insane.
I don't think that was Monday night.
Well, it had to have
Starkey
been.
And I went to that game, and we did the show before.
Did you go in the press box, or did you go as fans?
In the press box, because that was the only game I've ever been in the press box for a Steeler game.
Really? I'm on it.
Well, I mean, obviously I'm wrong.
Well, I read it, but it doesn't mean that was right. I think we need to do more Steelers, Cowboys, not just talk about the game the next couple of days, but talk about the rivalry and what it's meant and what it still means now.
Maybe it was a Thursday night game. No.
I don't think it was Thursday.
Man, this is bothering me now.
They've had some absolute classics, like, in modern times. What are you doing?
No, that was a Patriot game that Starkey and I went to.
Was it a Monday or a Sunday?
Sunday night. I got hit in the head a bunch of times. Come on, give me some slack.
So one of the first games Ben ever won in his rookie season, he rolled out to his right, threw one to Hines Ward, won the game on the road back at the old place in Dallas where God would look down upon his Dallas Cowboys through that hole in the ceiling. And then you had the Romo game where he threw the interception to Deshae Townsend. And I think it was the loudest regular season game in Hines Field / Acrisure Stadium history.
Why wouldn't a game like this be played every year, though? Like, why wouldn't
NFC?
I know, but you have to play an NFC opponent.
So you're saying like when they do the crossover?
Yeah, like play this.
Like Major League Baseball does the thing where, Cincinnati's going to play the what do they call them now? The Guardians. The Pirates play Detroit.
Like West Virginia Pitt
right
now. I mean, like if you're the NFL, this game is probably going to do the biggest number.
Oh, it's going to be huge. And there are going to be a lot of Cowboys fans here.
Right.
Now, Jerry Jones said yesterday whenever he did one of his 15 media gatherings of the week that he knows there'll be Cowboys fans here. He doesn't expect to take over the way that they usually do.
No.
We got to have to get into that, too. Pony and Muller had a good conversation about that on their Friday show. I think there's going to be a decent amount. Remember the 49ers game last year?
There was, I mean, everywhere.
Everywhere, like cockroaches.
I was very surprised because the Pitt game was obviously the day before, and they were everywhere that Saturday.
Yeah, you were saying there was a lot of people wearing 49ers gear at the Pitt game.
At the Pitt game.
Wild.
Did you hate the Cowboys growing up, or did you like them, or were you just like whatever?
I want to save it.
What are we saving it for?
For tomorrow. I feel like we have a long talk about this.
Okay.
I've never hated them.
Me neither. It's weird. I actually liked them growing up. It reminds me of Madden, Summerall, Thanksgiving, Emmitt Smith, Moose Johnston, Michael Irvin, Troy Aikman. I mean, that's my memory of being a kid is the Cowboys, and I never really hated them. I actually kind of – I didn't love them, but I didn't – was like, oh, the Cowboys.
I think the league's better when they're good, and I don't – I've never rooted against them. I like when they win because I think it's interesting, and I like the dysfunction element that they've brought. Like, when you talk about the 90s, I mean, they were it.
Yeah.
They were it. And obviously, if you were – old enough to really remember the Neil O'Donnell Super Bowl, you probably feel different than I do, but I was five. Like, that doesn't stick out to me as a game that crushed my childhood because I wasn't old enough for it to crush my childhood.
I was upset. I remember being upset, but like, I thought it was just a very cool matchup. That, you know, the reason why I thought that matchup in the Super Bowl in what, 95, 94 or 95, 96, whatever year it was cool was because I knew almost every player.
Right.
So I knew all the Steelers. And I knew basically 80% of the Cowboys because, you know, the Cowboys were the team that was on TV. We didn't have social media or anything, but whenever you did flip to like a Fox game after the Steeler game in the 90s, the Cowboys are usually on.
Yeah, I do get sick of all the NFC East games being on, like, because the Giants haven't been good for a long time and Washington's like never been good in, you know, the last couple of decades. And they're always on because they're playing the Cowboys. They're playing the Eagles, these really popular teams. Of course, New York's population, Washington's population. I think if you are a Steelers fan, and this is where we can have a bigger conversation, I think, tomorrow. If you're a Steelers fan and you hate the Cowboys, look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Like, it's because America's team, Steelers, right there, that kind of deal. fans in opposing team stadiums, always talked about on the primetime networks, always. No matter how good the Steelers are, no matter always. How good the Cowboys are, they drive conversations. And the Cowboys, you go back to the 90s, they haven't had playoff success in a long time. Steelers are now in 7 years being in mainstream conversation on all the big time shows week in and week out. They haven't won jack in 7 years. I think they're very similar. So we'll get into that. But coming up next, let's throw some dirt on the Pirates' grave. Let's do our season wrap up with one John Wehner. John Wehner joining us here on the Fan Morning Show, one of our favorite guys. Unfortunately, this is the last time we're going to talk to him until we get closer to Pirates season, because their season is over and we watch playoff baseball. Doran and I did yesterday, and playoff baseball is the best. The best. Royals, Orioles, a one-run game.
Man.
Not a butt unpuckered.
Nope.
For either of those fan bases. But it also depresses me. John, you get depressed when you watch other teams playing in postseason baseball, because for a while this year I thought we would be seeing it here in Pittsburgh.
Depressed is a little strong, and unfortunately we're kind of used to it. So, you know, obviously that's got to change. I was pretty optimistic going into the season that, you'd be able to make a run at it. Having said that, though, making a run at it, you're thinking, you know, I didn't think this team was a 90-win team. I thought, you know, they could finish above 500 and flirt with 84, 85, 86 wins, which would have got you in last year, but not this year. I mean, the teams that got in, I mean, especially the second half, they've made a run. And so what was it, 89 was what it took to get in. So it wasn't an 89-win team, obviously. I do enjoy watching the playoffs and, you know, seeing good pitching. And that's typically what you see. And you know, when you look at the Pirates, and if you're looking for reasons to be optimistic next year, it's, you know, when you have horses, and we saw some horses go out there yesterday and pitch very well, you know, and if you can get into that tournament and you got guys like Paul Skeens and Jared Jones and Mitch Keller with others coming behind them, you know, you like your chances in a short series.
John, outside of pitching, can you give us some other reasons to be optimistic about next year's Pirates team?
There's big question marks across the offense. I mean, outside of Reynolds, Cruz, Joey Bart, I mean, I think you had average at best players at every other position. I think you had probably below average players at every position. So you got to find ways to improve the offense. I'd be shocked if there weren't moves to improve the offense. I think we've missed the middle lineup bats all year long, and I think you got to find a way to get that production in the middle. I mean, you can't hope that Key Brian Hayes is going to come back and be great, and you can't hope that De La Cruz is going to hit like he did in the first half with Miami. We got some pretty nice players in IKF and Nick Gonzalez, and they're about average major league players. And I think you could expect more from Nick Gonzalez going forward. And IKF didn't hit quite like he did with Pittsburgh as he did before he came over. So, you know, where is everybody? I mean, if McCutcheon, I guess you could say McCutcheon was an average or above average major league player, but, you know, he's obviously a free agent, but we expect to have him back. But there's too many holes in that lineup moving forward, and I think this year the team was probably too patient and hoping that Jack Sawinski was going to figure it out. And Rowdy obviously got hot for a couple months, but they were so patient and hoping that guys would improve offensively. And my hope is that they're not going to go into next year hoping the group they have now is going to be good enough offensively, because from what we've seen this past year, I mean, too many holes in that lineup and we got to improve.
I think it's a really good synopsis there from John Wehner, and I would agree that there's three guys that I have high hopes for going into next season. Is that a lack of talent problem or a lack of developing talent problem, in your opinion, John? We saw, obviously, Andy Haynes get let go.
Yeah, I think it works both ways. I always feel that, you know, coaches in general, they get no credit when a player does good, and they get too much blame when the player doesn't do well. I mean, some of this has to go on the player's shoulders. Jack Sawinski's a great example. You know, I can't sit here and point at Andy Haynes for IKF and Brian De La Cruz not hitting in the last couple of months the way they did the first 4 months, because Andy Haynes is going to touch those guys or talk to those guys or change those guys. And so I'm not going to blame Andy Haynes for the guys we got in trade for their performances declining. Having said that, like Jack Sawinski, I mean, Jack Sawinski probably worked with Andy Haynes more than anybody. And, you know, and he regressed. And I can't blame Andy Haynes for that. He had 2 years of 25-plus homers with Andy Haynes, so all of a sudden it's not Andy Haynes' fault that Jack Sawinski suffered so much and struggled so much. Same with Michael Taylor, a veteran. Same with Robbie Telez's schedule's slow start. But, you know, Andy Haynes, I think, is a good baseball man. He is a smart guy. He works extremely hard. And, you know, obviously he's going to be let go, just like Message. And I'm sorry, but Justin Message isn't the reason that David Bednar struggled and some of those guys in the bullpen struggled. Holderman for a couple weeks and everything else like that. You know, they're going to get no credit if they're good and fingers pointed at them when they're bad. I do like the fact, and here's one thing I will say about it all, is that, you know, those guys don't have a lot of major league, they don't have any major league playing experience, and their only experience in the major leagues is coaches. And I do feel that there is advantages in having coaches in those roles that have been there and done that. And I think they can help a young player, or they can help even a veteran player that are going through struggles because they've experienced what they're experiencing. And so that's the one thing I will say about those positions, is that I think it's useful to have guys that have experienced failure and success at the big league level that are in those roles.
John, whatever you think about this guy is one thing, but Pete Rose, one of the best baseball players to ever live, do you feel that he should have been in the Hall of Fame, and do you feel like he will get in the Hall of Fame now that he has passed away?
Oh, that's a tough one there, just because as a player, 100%. Yeah, he was the best of all. I mean, one of the best of all time in terms of playing the game the right way. I mean, he wasn't a big power hitter like Bonds. I'm not going to put him up there with Bonds and Willie Mays and Babe Ruth, but I'm going to put him up there with anybody as far as playing the game hard, playing the game every day, and playing the game to win. I mean, you want to talk about a winning player, that's Pete Rose. No doubt a Hall of Famer. And I've always struggled with the answer. I could never come up with a definitive yes or no, should he be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, if the allegations are true that he bet on baseball and he bet on his team and bet on baseball while managing, I mean, man, that's a tough one. But that's obviously against the rules. So, I mean, but would I like to see him in? Yeah. Should he be in? I mean, that's, again, I have a hard time sitting here saying he should be, but as far as being a baseball player, 100% he's a Hall of Famer.
John, we're going to miss you, man. Yep. Maybe get some hot stove stuff coming on. We'd love to have you in for an hour or something like that.
Yes.
You guys can call me whenever you want. You know, just I just need a little advance, and we'll figure it out.
You're the man, Wayner. Appreciate
Thank you, Wayner.
Your time, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care. We'll see you. Thanks for everything.
Thank you.
I think he was crying.
I'm crying.
I think he was choked up a little bit.
Love, John. Just got a text. Pirates didn't make the playoffs, obviously. When is Crowley making good on that bet he has with that goofball pony?
Didn't he tweet about it yesterday?
He did. Didn't tag me, but he did tweet about it, you know.
Are you going to do it?
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Oh, no.
I'm not. I got a Speedo gifted to me.
Oh, no.
I would like to lose like 9 pounds before I put it on. Nothing specific, but 9 pounds. Yeah.
Nine.
I need to lose like 9 pounds. I can't have the belly hanging over the
it is what it is.
The Speedo.
The people that love you love you. Who cares about anybody else?
Is it okay if I say me?
You care?
I'd like it to be warm.
You better do it now then.
No, warm. Like a 90-degree day.
Oh, so you're gonna put it off until next summer?
Maybe. All right, we got our football segment coming up next, brought to you by Champ Tires, all brands and every size. Then Doug Whaley for a full hour. The football segment saw Diana Russini, Doran, write that George Pickens could be a wide receiver teams are interested in
Oh.
at the deadline.
Yeah. Like, no sense.
Zero sense. Diana does a good job, but I think that misses the mark entirely. I saw another one of these. I think it was the 33rd team trying to get some traction on social media asked, would you trade a third-round pick and George Pickens for Davante Adams? If the Steelers traded George Pickens for again, this isn't going to happen. If they traded him for Davante Adams, I think the third-round pick would go to the Steelers, not the other way around.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that Davante Adams, if he were here, wouldn't be the number one, but you'd be trading a younger, productive player. I feel like they'd have to throw the kicker and not the other way around.
The point is they want two receivers.
Right. Hey, let's not change a thing except get a more expensive player on the roster. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge. Ram Route 19 in Peters Township celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. The reason I did want to bring it up is I know that Pickens had a little bit of a blow up on the sideline, which I thought you would hear a much bigger deal be made of this. He talked yesterday, was singing the praises of Justin Fields. I think four games, I know he just did the sideline thing, quick as it was, I think he's growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I think he looks better, or he looks more like a wide receiver, I'll say it that way, than he did to me at any point last year, even when he was at his most productive at the end of the season. He's lining up on both sides of the field. They're lining him up in the slot. He's running a varied route tree. I've been impressed by George Pickens so far.
Me too. Maturing.
Speaking of maturity, me wearing a thong. Texter. Crowley, you can't wear a Speedo. You have to wear a thong. A Speedo's fine.
What was the agreement?
A swimsuit thong.
It was a leopard thong.
Oh, leopard
that's different.
Thong. Leopard thong. Cal is quick with that one.
That is different.
So the Speedo is not a thong.
No.
But given the size of the Speedo and my dump truck butt, it kind of looks thongish. I think if I walk down the Clemente Bridge wearing the Speedo that I've been gifted, I think people would say that makes sense.
Well, why would you go halfway? Just do the whole thing.
My butt cheeks are hanging out. It'll be
this is your fault.
I have said I want to do it in the warmth, and someone says, just use a sock, Crowley. No one's expecting much anyhow. You can always use cold weather as an excuse for the shrinkage. You know what? Maybe I do want to do it when it's cold, because then I'll have an excuse.
Right.
If it's warm and I have to stuff a sock down there, that's a bad look.
No good.
Mm-mm. I still think the caboose will be where people's eyes are. Not necessarily on the front.
I feel like their eyes are going to burn. Like, it's like Judgment Day and Terminator 2. Like, you're just going to just burn up.
It's going to look like Oscar the Grouch popping out of the trash can.
Oh, man.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road to McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 69, low of 55, 45% chance of rain.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.